everybody. Welcome to my podcast, Thomas and the Bible, where I plan to take on the entire Bible and learn it while also making fun of it and hopefully perhaps entertaining you along the way. So this podcast came about because I've always wanted to learn about the Bible, despite being an atheist, and the little I know about it, it seems absolutely ridiculous to me. But I've always wanted to learn about it for a few reasons. One is just to have the knowledge of something that has so clearly shaped millions of people's lives throughout thousands of years. People around me and probably around you. And I think it's probably important to understand that for practical reasons as well as just educational reasons. Another reason is because, as Christopher Hitchens said in a debate, he was talking about why it's still good to read the Bible, even though, of course, he's a, you know, adamant opposer to religion. Art makes a lot of reference to it. He said that Shakespeare is almost indiscernible without a solid knowledge of the Bible, which I don't know how much of that is really true because I've done some Shakespeare and I don't know crap about the Bible, but maybe I haven't been getting a lot of references this entire time. And those are the reasons. So I decided I wanted to learn about it, and I thought, what better way to do that than while I'm at work, working a boring job that I'm sure so many of you possibly listening do. I looked up a podcast, and a podcast to learn the Bible called The Bible in a Year or something like that. And as I was going through it, I went through the first couple episodes, Genesis, so much good material there. My brain just kept thinking of joke after joke after joke, and I just thought, this thing is ridiculous. I can't believe it. And then the thought popped into my head that why not do a show, since I want to go through it anyway. And I'm, you know, my brain's constantly going off creatively with all these jokes and everything. Why not record it? And maybe someone of a more atheistic perspective who perhaps also might want to learn the Bible could do so with some entertaining commentary and a sort of a critical perspective, because I do really hope in the process of this to not just make you laugh, but point out critical flaws and serious arguments for, I guess, and against religion. I've thought a lot about this. It turns out getting through the Bible in a year is actually a surprisingly difficult undertaking. I did a little math, and I'd have to do, if I did 5 episodes a week, I'd have to cover still 2.5 pages, which in Bible pages is, I don't know, a year, who knows. It's just the Bible I have anyway, the text is just minuscule. I can barely even read it. So it might be kind of an undertaking. I'm sort of going to feel it out. I thought about the fact that just getting this podcast started, of course, initially there might not be that many people listening, but then I thought about and was talking to some people, and with the wonders of the internet, this thing could be around forever, you know, as long as I decide to house it. So if perhaps in the future it got going or you know, people caught on to it at all, they could always go back and listen to this and the beginning and everything, no matter where I was in the year or maybe even after the year done with it. So I am going to keep up. I intend to keep up the 5 episodes a week, even if, you know, I'm the only one listening to it, which I hope isn't true. We'll see. So what's next? I think I should just give a quick personal background. Like I said, I am an atheist. I've probably pretty much always been an atheist. I was raised not too intensely religious, but I was raised, and I had to go to church for at least the first 13 or so years of my life. I never really bought it. I'm sure when I was young and I was just going through the motions of what everyone did. I'm sure there's times you could almost call me some sort of Christian, but I think it's really just never made sense to me. It's really, I've just never been programmed for it. And if you are a believer, then I guess that's God's fault. So that's my background. I used to be, what Richard Dawkins would refer to as a, I'm an atheist, but kind of person who, would challenge what Dawkins is doing, which is being so-called militant atheist. These atheist butts would say, you know, pose questions. I'm an atheist, but I think that what you're doing is wrong because all kinds of people need religion, et cetera, which he thinks is a really sort of a, I guess, just arrogant view to think that there's something that everybody else needs that you don't need. I sort of did take that view for a while. For a lot of my life, I thought, you know, whatever, it doesn't hurt anybody. A lot of people need it to get through the day. Life sucks. And I actually, to be truthful, I sort of always did envy being able to really believe that, you know, it was okay and somebody had a plan for you and there's going to be an afterlife and all your cats will be there and everything. I as much as these militant atheists maintain that they don't see it that way, and they really see the wonders of the world, which I definitely do too. I really firmly believe that the atheist sense of wonderment with our true circumstances is much greater than wonderment with as Hitchens would say, a burning bush. You know, looking out at the cosmos and you know, reading a book by Stephen Hawking is much more incredible than reading this, you know, the Bible. But I can't really deny that I would be a lot happier if I knew that everything was going to be fine when we die. You know, it's I got to be honest and admit that. So that's why I was an atheist. But I would say, you know, to anyone who can believe that, geez, you're lucky, you know. And I would never really want to take anyone's religion away from them. And I you know, my family was for the most part religious, and they were pretty rational religious people. They weren't, you know, not fundamentalist at all, but sort of about as sophisticated as you can get while still being religious. So I've always had a certain respect for it. But like I'm sure a lot of you and a lot of, hopefully a lot of people around the world, I caught the, you know, Dawkins, Sam Harris, Hitchens, Daniel Dennett bug. And when you listen to their arguments, they are very persuasive. And they really, it's hard to argue with the fact that faith is a problem. And all faith is a problem. Obviously there are faiths that are more dangerous out there. Islam comes to mind, obviously, probably to everybody's mind first. And there's a certain amount of, I guess, higher ground that Christianity would in some sense have over Islam because of that. But, just real quick to barely touch on this argument, cause it could, you know, take forever. I think Sam Harris talks about this probably the best. There's just as much basis to believe in Christianity as Islam. There's just as much basis for believing in really any religion. It's there's no one religion has any better evidence than any other. So we can't just say, okay, the good ones are good and the bad ones are bad, because we don't have any way to determine that. There's no way. I mean, we can say, yeah, logically, we can say one might be more or less harmful, but it would be really hypocritical to criticize one and seek to maybe eradicate in some sense one, but then say, oh, it's okay that you guys believe this. That's fine. So long as you're controlled in a certain way. And what it does is it sort of, and this is actually more my words now than Sam Harris. I think it, this faith that so many of us have in this country sort of handicaps us against arguing against things like Islam. It's you know, we can't very well argue against Islam when we believe something just as ridiculous. And I think that's why everyone of faith rushes to the defense of other people in faith, not necessarily of their faith, but they will rush to the defense and say, you can't criticize faith. It's personal. It's their thing. But, just to make the long story short, we need to do that. So that's sort of my background and my, some of my views. I have a million, but just to give a quick overview. So, okay. Another issue, another topic with this podcast is I realized that this is while I didn't see any other podcasts on iTunes doing precisely what I'm doing, in no way is this an original idea. I'm not going to pretend that I'm the only one that's ever made fun of the Bible, that, you know, that's, it's the oldest damn thing in the world. Everyone's made probably every joke possible. That being said, I don't have a lot of exposure to that. So in some sense, I want to sort of claim originality, and sort of check my baggage, so to speak. I have watched Eddie Izzard, and he makes fun of the Old Testament pretty well. Just, it's so easy. I mean, every comedian should, really. And Ricky Gervais, I think, also has a few bits. But those ones I remember, and I'm not going to use. So if I do, yeah, I might mention something that they said about just to reference it. But so other than that, though, I'm not a big, I'm not exposed to all that much comedy about the Bible, so hopefully I can claim some sort of originality with this. I will be using the King James Version of the Bible. This is on recommendation by Christopher Hitchens and a lot of people, actually. I think most people regard that as the best translation. It's funny, the podcast I was listening to, the guy is reading the New Age translation, and it's amazing how unsophisticated it sounds next to the, old English, but very proper, like Shakespearean type sentences in the King James Version. Just a quick digression. The guy on the podcast has the most irritating voice. If you think mine is irritating, just be lucky that I'm not doing some sort of stupid faux radio voice. This guy, I could do a little impression of it real quick. I say, in the beginning, the Lord created the, so that kind of thing. And he spoke unto Noah and said, just the most ridiculous. I hate that. I feel like I can't be the only one that thinks that it's the most ridiculous thing. It's in, previews and radio and all that. It's so weird that we sort of, again, it's a digression, but it's so weird that we sort of just adjust our minds to that. You hear that on the radio, and you don't think anything of it, But if you went to a party or something and you said, "Hey, my name's Thomas, what's up?" "Well, my name's Bob. How are you?" You'd be like, "What the hell are you talking?" You'd think it was the stupidest person you've ever talked to in your life. It's really funny how that works. And also, this podcast, the guy plays a lot of nature music and light guitar and the voice, and I think it's all excuse me, it's all part of it. It's all part of the point. They want you to not read the Bible and think about it. They want you to feel the Bible. They know that if you read it with any sort of critical eye, it's just ridiculous. The whole thing is just unbelievably stupid. But it's sort of, they want you to experience it. I really think it's just, of course, all geared toward that, okay. One other thing, I do plan on just going, straight through it from beginning to end. And I think what'll happen is a lot of people, if there are any religious folk listening to this, will see me deal with the Old Testament and almost any sort of quote unquote sophisticated Christian I've ever talked to just as, "Oh, of course the Old Testament's ridiculous. Everybody knows that. They all know the Old Testament's ridiculous," they'll say. Challenge the New Testament. That would be the real challenge. And I have a couple responses to this. First, I think it's just anecdotally, doesn't it seem ridiculous that you could just completely disregard half, actually, more like 60-70%, just based on a quick, you know, looking at the page numbers and sort of playing this out. The Old Testament, just disregard 60-70% of a book that's supposedly divinely inspired. You know, just anecdotally. I mean, if you're pitching a film, and you're pitching it supposedly made by the best filmmaker of all time, not just the best, but like a god among filmmakers, and you're pitching the film, and you say, look, the first 60-70% of the film, it's crap. It's just, I wouldn't even watch it if I were you. I mean, you can watch it, but take it with a grain of salt. It's just real BS. But the last 30% is just, on the waterfront. It's just it's the greatest movie ever. Isn't that ridiculous? Could you ever do that? You atheists or you rational thinkers, could you ever really defend something like that? More specifically, and less anecdotally, the belief is that it's the inerrant word of God. That's the Bible is. That's a widely held belief. I don't think I'm targeting a, you know, fundamentalist minority when I say that. That it supposedly is, yet not this part, and don't listen to that part, and take that part figuratively. Don't. You know, that's how they have to go through it, and it's ridiculous. I'll get more into this when we get to specific places where we find ridiculousity. So that's how I deal with that. I think there is at least something to be said for those religious people who do pretty much disregard the Old Testament. You know, at least we can be glad that they're not stoning anything that moves, pretty much. So to those people, I can say that maybe we can both just have a good laugh through, you know, Genesis and Exodus and all that garbage. We can, maybe it'll just be entertaining for all of us. And I certainly, you know, I can't skip it. I don't know the Bible. I really want to go through it and learn it. And I think that it'll just get exponential, the amount of, ridiculousness, as we go through it. But also, while that may be the sort of advanced and sophisticated view, I saw a Gallup poll. I looked it up for this, and it said that in 2008, 53% of the people in this country believe that God made man just how it says in the Bible, or you know, just about, I think was the wording, how it says in the Bible. 53%. You can look up this Gallup poll. It was worded differently, and there were some answers that came closer to, you know, 45% or something like that. But just imagine that. It's hard for people who are educated and come from college to even believe something like that. So that means that 53% of people aren't, I guess, taking Genesis figuratively. They're saying that that is how it happened. That is how people were created. All this, all your, you know, you and your science and your evidence and your fossils can just go to hell. Well, literally, I guess. So in some sense, even though for any sophisticated Christian listening, you know, this will be misdirected criticism, this Old Testament stuff. But in some sense, it's not, because, you know, it's really, people do believe this crap. 53%. And even those who say they take it figuratively, or if that's the claim, that they take it figuratively, I remember, you know, it's been a while since I've been to church, but is that really how they preach it? Is that really how the preacher on Sunday, does he talk? Now, okay, let's open our books to Genesis. Now, remember, it's important to remember, none of this actually happened at all, but it's, you know, it's good to look at it figuratively. It teaches something. Is that really how they present it? No, it's not. It obviously is not. I think they put on a better face when faced with scrutiny. They back down because they know it's just ridiculous, but that's not how these people conduct their lives. They don't conduct their lives reminding themselves, this is crap and evolution is, you know, that's the theory we have, and it's absolutely true. They don't live their lives like that. So it is important to criticize the Old Testament still, is my point with all this. Okay, so from time to time, I might reference certain beliefs, Christian beliefs, throughout this. I really do just want to focus on learning the Bible, and this is becoming a very long introduction. I apologize for that. But from time to time, I want to look at certain Christian beliefs and how they're holding up with what we're reading. An example might be the idea of a timeless God. Just to talk about this briefly, I don't know where this originates from. I'm sure if I was a biblical scholar or just a Christian scholar, I could tell you. There are some ideas I have. I'm guessing since they believe God created everything, you'd have to believe that God created time and then therefore is not part of time. I just like to remind anyone, and you know, hopefully any Christian already knows this, you cannot read probably any of the Bible, any of it, literally, while believing God is timeless. He's constantly popping in and out, doing things, acting. And when you think about it, if you really try to wrap your mind around that concept, which is, it's absolutely impossible. But if you do, how could a timeless God act? How could a timeless God have any, how could a timeless God have a thought? None of this can happen. That's not part of the deal. It's a timeless God. And I think I've read a little bit of David Hume, and I think he talks about this a little bit, geniusly, I'm sure. But how could you do, you can't do anything. You couldn't have an action. The cop out is to say, well, you know, we can't possibly comprehend it and whatever. Sure, I guess. But there are certain things we can definitely say cannot be true. We know that God cannot have a change of heart. God cannot, I mean, all this crap I'm sure is obvious to everybody. I can't be the only one who thinks this. I'm not that smart. But when reading through this, I just keep that in the back of your heads that, you know, this is supposedly a timeless, all-powerful, infallible God. And just from memory, I'm sure you can see that the Bible is not that. That's not what's represented in the Old Testament, at least. And even in the New Testament, I'm pretty sure. We'll get to that, though. Excuse me. To sort of sum up, I really sincerely want to learn the Bible. And I think that even if you find me completely unfunny and just intolerable, at the least you could learn the Bible without having to listen to "In the Beginning, the Bible." You know, I'll try to. My voice is pretty irritating, but I'll try to keep it as not like that as possible. So I really do, and I also really do want to entertain comments from anybody, from absolutely anybody. I would be very, very happy to, if Christians listen to this, anybody, and challenge my interpretation, challenge any problems I bring up. I really do want to understand the religious mind better and the Christian mind better, because I just have infinite energy when it comes to this debate, even though it should have been solved about a zillion years ago. But I don't know. So, anyone who has comments, and I'll post this somewhere, but anyone who has comments can send them to comments@thomasandthebible.com. Thomasandthebible.com. Thomas. I'm sure you see it somewhere. And I'll take any, you know, if it's genuinely, factual and correct something I say, I absolutely will admit a wrong and talk about it. You know, I'd love to. Let's see. Also, you could visit the website. I'll it's not developed now, but by the time you're listening, this will probably be the best website ever. It's obviously thomasandthebible.com. So thank you all for listening to this really long intro. I really wonder if you got through it. Probably didn't. And if you didn't, you're not hearing this. So, you smell. So thank you, and I hope you'll join me in this ridiculous journey.